Greetings once again to all the Grove Park Chapel family and others who are listening. This is Pastor Dale with a 6-website message. As we all continue on this historic journey, a journey that brings us to the end of our 6-week of stay-at-home social distancing and prevents us from gathering for corporate worship, at least for another week or so. Governor Cooper has extended the stay-at-home order until Friday, May 8th. He set forth a 3-phase plan for reopening our state, but that's still somewhat fluid and will be determined by the number of new COVID-19 cases in North Carolina. So we know we won't have church services on Sunday, May 3rd or Wednesday, May 6th. The elders will confer this week to determine if it's safely possible to have services on Sunday, May 10th, which of course is Mother's Day. We'll get word to all of our church family by next weekend about the status of our services after the first week of May. In the meantime, Pastor Henry will begin providing a midweek website sermon starting next Wednesday, April 29th, and all the Wednesdays until we are able to meet again. He'll also provide the Sunday sermon for next Sunday, May 3rd. The grim coronavirus statistics continue on their upward climb. As of the time of my recording this sermon, there are nearly 3 million cases of COVID-19 and 203,000 deaths worldwide. That's 700,000 new cases and 43,000 more deaths over the past week. In the United States, there are more than 961,000 cases and more than 54,000 deaths, an increase of 225,000 cases and 15,000 deaths over the past 7 days, an average of more than 22,100 deaths a day. In North Carolina, there are more than 8,600 cases and 290 deaths, which translate into 2,500 new cases and 110 more deaths since last weekend. A global pandemic that is affecting every nation on the planet is something that's never happened before. The Black Death was a devastating epidemic of bubonic plague that struck Europe and Asia in the mid-1300s, killing more than 20 million people in Europe, almost 1/3 of the continent's population at that time. But the bubonic plague didn't have global impact. World War I, 1914 to 1918, was centered in Europe, but drew in the United States, Canada, and Australia, leaving 16 million combatants and civilians dead. World War II, 1939 to 1945, had major theaters of combat in Europe, North Africa, the Far East, and the Pacific, directly involved more than 30 countries and left about 80 million dead, mostly civilians. But there were still large sections of the globe left untouched by both of those wars. The coronavirus pandemic is affecting every country and territory around the world, as well as 2 international conveyances. In addition to millions of people suffering the physical effects of the virus and more than 200,000 dying, COVID-19 has effectively shut down much of the world's economies. It's costing nations trillions of dollars in unbudgeted funds and has devastated the livelihoods of millions of families worldwide. With all the suffering and uncertainties about the future, myriads of people are looking for answers. Many are going to religious internet sites to ask if COVID-19 is the judgment of God and if this is the beginning of the end of the world. Maybe you've asked those questions in your own heart or have heard them from loved ones or work colleagues or neighbors. Let's think about those questions. Is COVID-19 God's judgment upon the world? Well, our first answer must be the world is already under the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus told us that the wrath of God already abides on every person who doesn't believe in Him. Every unbeliever is already condemned because they love darkness rather than light, John 3:18 and 36. But our Lord did tell us that God will use pestilences as part of His arsenal of judgment at the beginning of the tribulation period, Matthew 24:7. Does that mean we're already in the tribulation? No. The tribulation won't begin until the rapture occurs and the Antichrist is revealed by signing a covenant with Israel. In fact, according to Daniel's prophecy, the signing of that covenant will signal the start of Daniel's 70th week of years, which is the 7-year tribulation period when God's wrath will be poured out on the earth, Daniel 9:27, Revelation 6:19. But prophetic events cast their shadows before them. And there's no doubt in my mind that God is using the coronavirus pandemic, with all the pain and suffering it's causing, to give us a foretaste of future events and to get the attention of the whole world. C.S. Lewis, in his book The Problem of Pain, famously wrote, quote, "We could ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Our world has become largely deaf to the true and living God who created the universe and in whom we all live and move and exist, Acts 17:28. The Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindu worlds look to a false god of religion. The secular world of the West looks to the false gods of materialism and pleasure. The atheistic communist world looks to no god but power. But the true God who reveals himself in the Bible is using this crisis and the pain it's causing as his megaphone to get people's attention from within all of those worlds. And as I said in previous messages, let's all be praying that God will bring millions to faith in his Son through this worldwide pandemic. Those conversions will never make the evening news, but they will bring great rejoicing in heaven, and we'll meet all those people one day. The COVID-19 pandemic is not a fulfillment of specific biblical prophecies, but I am certain that God is using it to set the stage for end-time events and the return of Christ. I mean, think about it. If this global pandemic is freaking people out, what will happen right after the rapture when millions of people suddenly disappear? Can you imagine the wild speculation that'll spread throughout the internet? I'm also certain that God is using the coronavirus pandemic to remind people of the brevity and uncertainty of life and the certainty of death. We all should be faced with those facts every time we attend a funeral or drive by a cemetery, but we can get used to such realities and shut our minds to the lessons they teach. An unusual event like this virus can wake us up and jolt us to our senses. 9/11 did that. None of those 3,000 people who were killed by the terrorists woke up that bright sunny morning and headed off to work or boarded a plane thinking that they would never return home, that they would be dead by mid-morning. And none of the more than 200,000 people who've died of this virus celebrated New Year's Eve less than 5 months ago thinking that their life would end from a new disease within the first quarter of 2020. God is saying, "May I have your attention? This virus reminds us that we're all going to die unless Christ returns soon, and we don't know the day of our death. It can come suddenly and unexpectedly." I'm also certain that God is using COVID-19 to judge the gods that we worship in America and other affluent countries, the gods of materialism and pleasure and sports and entertainment. Our society worships these gods. They take precedence over the true God of heaven in the lives of most Americans. And just as the Lord targeted the gods of Egypt with each of the 10 plagues that he sent through Moses, Exodus 12:12, so he is targeting our 21st century American gods by taking them away from us through the shutting down of our economies and the stay-at-home social distancing orders. The malls and department stores are closed. The theaters are closed, the restaurants are closed, the schools are closed, and college and professional sports are canceled. God is giving us a pause to think about how important these things have become to us. Are many people listening? Are any people listening? Are any people taking advantage of the opportunity to reevaluate what values should take priority in their lives? I'm also certain that God is using the COVID-19 crisis to remind believers in America and other wealthy nations that heaven is our real home. We can get so tied to the comforts and conveniences of our earthly lives in a free and affluent society that we don't long for heaven and look for Christ's return as we should. Jesus told us to watch for him and be ready, Matthew 25:13. But how many Christians in America are so caught up in the daily activities of this life that a week or more can go by without their even thinking about Christ's return or of their heavenly home? Believers who live in daily poverty in third world countries don't have that problem. Neither do believers in oppressive countries where they face daily persecution for their faith. Those saints have been weaned off of this present sinful world and look forward with great anticipation to the glories of heaven. In the words of the old gospel song, we need to remember that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Let's make sure that we are consistently laying up eternal treasures in heaven and not hoarding temporary treasures on earth that will all ultimately be lost to us. Because Jesus said, "Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also," Matthew 6:21. No prophets and soothsayers predicted a worldwide viral pandemic in 2020. But it didn't take God by surprise. I'm not saying he was the direct cause of it, but he certainly allowed it, and he is certainly using it to get our attention and teach us some valuable lessons. Are we listening? Are we learning the lessons? Of course, he's also using the pandemic to provide us the opportunity to spend quality time with our children and grandchildren and to make special memories. We keep hearing encouraging stories of the good things that are coming out of the crisis. Did you hear about the wise dad in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who thought of a creative way to give his daughter, a high school senior, an evening she will fondly remember for the rest of her life? The daughter's name is Savannah. And when Savannah's mom asked her to get into her prom dress for photos, she was annoyed at the request. After all, the family was practicing social distancing and the prom was canceled due to the coronavirus. Little did she know, her parents had planned an alternative senior prom night she'd never forget. Waiting at the door was the perfect date, her dad, all dressed up for the prom. He put together dinner from her favorite restaurant, flowers, dancing, and a slow song to end the night. Good for you, Dad. I remind you again, dear ones, as I did last weekend, to use this precious time and don't waste it. Connect in meaningful ways with your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, your church family. Keep praying together, reading the Bible together, singing together, talking with one another, listening to a sermon together on Sunday morning, and doing lots of fun, creative, meaningful things together. Let's continue to be careful to stay home except for necessary outings, and no outings if you're sick, to wear a mask and rubber gloves if you do go out, to wash your hands for at least 20 seconds as often as necessary, and to keep often touched surfaces disinfected. Maybe we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but don't let down your guard and keep praying for one another. Continue to pray for our leaders, starting with our president and the governors and Congress. Pray that they will look to the Lord for wisdom. Pray for the brave doctors and nurses and medical personnel on the front lines. Pray for the scientists searching for a vaccine. Pray for the sick who are trying to recover from the virus. Pray for the small business owners to receive the CARES Act loan from the government very soon to help keep their businesses afloat. Pray for the employees who are out of work right now. Pray for the teachers working overtime to provide virtual teaching for their students, as they won't be going back to the classrooms this semester. Pray for the parents who have extra duties in helping their children at home get their lessons done. Pray for your church family, and be assured that you are being prayed for consistently by me, by my fellow elders, and by many of your brothers and sisters. Call or text me if you need me, if you need something from the grocery store or pharmacy, or if you just need to talk. Don't forget to look for a sermon by Pastor Henry on our website this Wednesday. I love you, dear ones. I miss you. The Lord is with us and will continue to help us get through this together. And once again, until next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.